welcome to MLW Confusion. I'm your host, Rob Cameron, bringing you all that you may or may not need to know about Major League Wrestling and its television programming, all while hiding in the shower. Give me one moment. I will step out.
This week, we are going to ratchet things up, get ourselves an e-card, and review Fury Road 2019 just for shits and giggles. But first, before we do that, let's check out the news. It has been announced that this September 11th, MLW will host War Chamber in Dallas, Texas. And this is the big news because it has been announced that the War Chamber match itself will be the main event for the evening, which of course makes total sense that the card named after the match should go on last. Except maybe unless there's a World Heavyweight title match involved as well, then, you know, that can be a toss-up. But, you know, never mind that. The important thing is War Chamber main event, Team Filthy taking on the Von Erichs. Ross and Marshall and a mystery partner will be taking on Team Filthy, led by Filthy Tom Lawler, of course. So that is our big main event for War Chamber. Also down the news pipeline, it has been announced that the King of Strange Style, the Luchador Ares, has come to a multi-year agreement with MLW. He participated in the open draft previously, earlier this summer, but evidently being drafted doesn't mean you get to sign a contract. So, it's official now, signing a contract. Assume he's going to probably be moving over to the Azteca Underground brand, where, you know, Lucha is prominently, in theory, should be prominently featured. But, you know, who knows? Nothing's been debuted on that yet, and we've gotten very little news regarding what Azteca Underground will actually contain. All right, it is time for our main part of the show. As I said at the start of everything, we're going to take a look, go into the time machine, and review Fury Road 2019. This is just, once again, as we are awaiting new programming from Major League Wrestling. This time around, I just decided to dig into the archives and just find something we haven't watched and reviewed yet, and just figure we'd just go from there. I watched this in a vacuum, so if I'm not fully up to date on my storylines, I apologize, which may or may not, you know, hinder your enjoyment depending on how much you were paying attention as well, or any, like, extra context to any matches that were had. But this was one of MLW's big events for the year 2019, and honestly, I have actually watched this episode before, according to YouTube, but this would have been, like, right in the early times of just me getting into Major League Wrestling, so it was kind of nice to re-look at some things and just see how the product's changed, how people have grown, you know, and kind of, like, what's going on from there, just, you know. See the growing pains, watching the little fellows grow up, you know, watch Hammerstone grow a massive beard and whatnot. But anyway, our show starts off with a recap of the recently debuting Contra Stable. They're just laying waste the entire MLW locker room one by one, first taking out the Lucha Brothers, then Low Key, then the combination of AC Romero and Barrington Hughes, Tom Lawler, no one was safe from Contra's wrath at this point in time. Starting the stable off hot, proving themselves to be a dangerous commodity, especially with the fireballs and spikes a la Joseph Samael and the wrestling prowess of Simon Gotch. We are welcomed to the show by Jim Cornette and Rich Bocchini. They are running down the card for the night, and the two big matches that are going to take place are the finals for the National Open Heavyweight Championship, Open Weight Championship, and the main event for the MLW Middleweight Championship, Teddy Hart taking on Jimmy Havoc. But before we get into those major matches, on the undercard we will see Myron Reed just starting out his Injustice gimmick, taking on Gringo Loco. First thing I noticed before we get into any like details of the match, all the music has been like pretty much edited out or like muted down so low, and it's really kind of weird seeing professional wrestling entrances with guys who are music-based to some level with their entrance and then just like have no music. Primarily looking at Gringo Loco, who's doing like his little like funk dancey things to the ring, and there's just nothing, at least for us television viewers. I mean, obviously there's things in the crowd, and if you listen very carefully, you can hear the drums beating in the background. But that was just kind of interesting. And just also checking out kind of the beginnings of Injustice with Myron Reed. This is pre-Chest Protector, but he's still kind of the young goat, dyeing his hair and doing flippy stuff. Commentary notes that he's had some run-ins with the referee, and the referee may or may not be biased against him, which obviously, if you've learned anything from this show, that all referees are biased and you cannot trust them. But, moving on, we are going to have a match, some middleweight action, Gringo Loco, Myron Reed. The match starts with some shoving back and forth, which quickly just goes into a dive outside the ring, because of course it does, it's independent wrestling, so the more dives the better. Reed hits a tope con hilo outside the ring, things come back in the ring, and really from there, Gringo Loco takes over for a while, just outwitting Myron, does get a standing moonsault in, and just outsmarting him at every step until, Reed hits Gringo with an enziguri. Reed hits a slingshot leg drop for a two count. Gringo tries to take over, goes for a moonsault. Reed gets his feet up, hits him, like, right in the face of those feet, too. Allowing Reed to kind of, like, just take over, slow things down for a bit, jawjack with the crowd. Gringo comes back with a running Liger Bomb. Big move on Reed for two. Also in the process of some battling, they both Reed and Gringo end up on the top rope. And we get a super Falcon Arrow, which you think no one gets up from the Falcon Arrow, especially super variety. But you would be wrong, because Myron Reed kicks out of the super Falcon Arrow, and the crowd proceeds to utter their first fecal chant of the evening. And Jim Cornette, of all people, apologizes for it. Huh. Interesting. Anyway. Moving on, continuing the match. Myron Reed comes back, hits a slingshot cutter, then follows it up with the no-cap splash, the Springboard 450. Only a two count, though. Gets a lot of, like, really lackadaisical cover, and he's starting to get into some shenanigans with the referee. It kind of looks like Reed's going for something in his pants. The referee's catching it. They're kind of going back and forth. Anyway, so there's, like, a bunch of stalling there. Gringo Loco hits a suplex into a tombstone pile driver for the 1, 2, 3. And after the match, Reed is not happy, but instead of taking it out on the referee, he goes into his tights, pulls out a pair of brass knucks, and knocks the F out of Gringo Loco. And that is your match. A solid opener, and it's kind of nice to see the startings of the Injustice stable for anyone who's kind of missed it, with Reed coming out with tape over his mouth, and carrying signs wanting justice, and Gringo Loco actually winning a match. Like, I totally forgot that Gringo Loco has won any matches in MLW. He's always kind of been used as an enhancement guy, but things kind of at least were slightly different back in the halcyon days of 2019. We go backstage with Selena De La Renta. She is excited to announce that she is once again producing an episode of MLW Fusion in the near future. So that will be the second episode that she has executive produced. Oh, solid shows overall, of course. Solid shows that I don't remember anything about. But I can say that about most episodes of Fusion in the long run. I can't tell you what numbers, you know, certain things happened in, but I remember awesome matches that pop up. Just, you know, don't ask me when they happened. Meanwhile, as I'm ranting, Casey Lennox is backstage waiting to interview Filthy Tom Lawler, and he hasn't showed up to the arena, which is really odd for him. Usually he's the first guy there, according to James E. Cornette. But while we're trying to solve this mystery, it looks like we're going to have the finals for the National Openweight Championship. It's going to be Flyin' Brian Jr. taking on Alexander Hammerstone, the Dynasty taking on the New Heart Foundation, who's been tangling off and on during this time period. I don't remember the brackets, otherwise I'd run them down for you. The important thing is that Brian Pillman Jr. has a bleach blonde mullet at this time. So, This is our finals for the brand new championship, a championship that, spoiler alert, Alexander Hammerstone won tonight, well, that night, and is currently holding to this day. The match starts off with some grappling, jockeying for position, if you will. Pillman's speed taking on Hammerstone's strength. For the time being, speed kind of gets the best of Hammerstone, and Pillman gets to hit some chops in the corner. All for naught, though, because Hammer hits a big bicycle kick and then just proceeds just to stomp and toss Pillman from pillar to post. Hammer goes for a suplex to the outside of the ring. Pillman blocks it and hits a drop kick, taking Hammer out. And then hits a big dive on him as well. Pillman goes for the Braun Strowman Choo Choo Express, but gets caught and just flung into the guardrail. Some more brawling outside the ring that culminates with an apron powerbomb by Hammerstone. Only gets a two count, though, because Hammer actually bothered to roll him into the ring after this. But again, only two count. Our match continues. Pillman tries to escape an abdominal stretch and just gets his head taken off with a clothesline. Hammer starts talking some mad trash and allowing Pillman to come back, hits his big hope spot, ending with a big super kick for two. Pillman is just doing everything he can to keep down Hammer, goes to the top rope and misses a senton bomb, which allows Hammer to hit the nightmare pendulum. One, two, three. Ya boy, Alexander Hammerstone is your inaugural and current and only MLW National Openweight Champion. Casey Lennox comes into the ring to attempt to interview Hammer, and he just kind of brushes her off, saying he can handle it, cuts a promo, ultimately saying that the National Openweight Championship is now dynastic. All right, we're going to take a brief pause for the cause, listen to the words of the people who pay me the big bucks to do this. I'll be back in one moment. Thank you for listening to MLW Confusion. MLW Confusion is written and narrated by Rob Kammer, but is not affiliated with Major League Wrestling. The opening theme is written and performed by Rob Kammer, and what you are listening to right now is Ruined My Day by Alan L. Schroeder. If you enjoyed the show, please like, subscribe, and leave a review. Also, be sure to tell your friends, family, and enemies about the show. Word of mouth is very important to us small businesses. You can also get up to date with the thoughts and ramblings at the social media at the links in the description. If you'd like to support monetarily and help out, and to upgrade our equipment too, by the way, you can in the following ways. First, our virtual tip jar is at www.kofi.com/casanova. That is CASSONOVA. Or, for more bang for your buck, join our Patreon at www.patreon.com/casanova. For as little as $1 a month, you can get access to MLW Confusion early and ad-free, plus get weekly exclusive goodies. So be like the OGs, Maverick 45 and Alan Schroeder, and check that out! Also, for your energy, sleep, and workout needs, check out repsports.com and use the coupon code CAS at checkout to get 15% off your order. All right, we are back, and we get a hype video noting that Austin Aries is coming soon to MLW. He did, lasted like two matches, and then he was gone again. Following that, we get footage of Filthy Tom Lawler being kidnapped in the parking lot by Contra Unit. From there, we get interrupted transmission showing Filthy Tom bound in an unknown location with Fatu and Joseph Samael kind of giving him the works. The highlight for me was like, you got something to say? And then like they take the tape off of Tom's mouth. He's like, yeah, I got something to say. But then they just shut him back up. And I'm like, dudes, it's Tom Lawler. He's always got something to say, whether he's a good guy or a bad guy. He's just always kind of running his mouth. But, you know, what do I know? I'm just a guy who watches wrestling from his mother's basement. We return to the commentation station with Rich Bocchini and Jim Cornette trying to make sense of everything that they just watched. They're really putting over like how unsettling it was, the unmitigated violence that occurred, which is ironic because we are leading up to our main event, Teddy Hart versus Jimmy Havoc, battle to see who's the biggest slime ball. Oh, nope. I'm sorry. It was a battle for the MLW Middleweight Championship. We get a little hype video for the Havoc Hart feud. There really wasn't much of one. It was mostly just a hype package for both guys and just had him cut promos about the other guy in the process. But yeah, this is a match that ultimately doesn't age well. Speaking of not aging well, like, one of the first things gets said, like, when Jimmy Havoc enters, is there's no place in wrestling for a sicko like Jimmy Havoc. And who would have thought that, like, 12 months later, almost to the day, really, like, Jimmy Havoc has been essentially blackballed from professional wrestling as of this time. Never say never in wrestling. Like, he might be make a comeback at some time down the road. But for the right now, like, he hasn't done anything since June of 2020, when he was one of the many accused during the speaking out movement of professional wrestling. So, groovy, Jimmy Havoc, ladies and gentlemen. And of course, there's Teddy Hart, whose legal troubles are seemingly endless for various abuses and potential kidnappings and drug stuff as well. So, I picked a great show to watch. It's really uplifting to see all this action. Yeah, Jim Cornette, Jimmy Havoc, Teddy Hart. Oh, the good old days when we could just ignore how big of pieces of shit people were back in the day. Even though I'm pretty sure we already kind of knew what Teddy Hart was about in 2019. But, you know, whatever. We has match. It's for the middleweight championship. It's our main event. So let's just try to sit back and enjoy it as much as we can anyway. Jimmy tries to jump Hart from behind. Hart sidesteps and gets to start the offense. Mostly just clubbing blows. Evidently, this is relaxed rules. And by relaxed, evidently, just no rules, because the ref doesn't really admonish anything that isn't a rope break. Hart does get a couple of shots with the chair in for good measure to the midsection. Big straight jacket lung blower plus a moonsault for two. We get a report from commentary that Tom Lawler has reported to come back to the venue, all beaten up. He's being taken to a local medical facility. Meanwhile, Hart and Havoc fight on the ring apron, and Hart just gets dropped on his head on a chair, gets busted open, which allows Jimmy Havoc to, of course, come play, because these are the scenarios in which Jimmy Havoc works best. We get a bunch of paper cuts on Hart, notably then the webbing between his fingers and his mouth. You know, the most uncomfortable places to watch a guy get paper-cutted. Hart ends up throwing Havoc into a chair to mount some sort of comeback, but it doesn't last for long. Havoc gets a sharpshooter, which upsets Jim Cornette. I mean, though, to be frank, everything Jimmy Havoc does kind of upsets Cornette, because he's a deathmatch guy, and Cornette hates deathmatch folk. But, you know, we didn't get a screw job tonight, so the sharpshooter was ineffectual. Hart gets out. He counters the Acid Rainmaker into a Canadian Destroyer. That's not enough to finish this match, because he's still pretty hurt. But then he hits up the lifting hammerlock DDT on the steel chair, Hart attack style. 1, 2, 3. Your champion, Teddy Hart, retains the MLW Middleweight Championship. He is your victor. But he doesn't get to celebrate for long, because a Wild Dynasty appears and just beats the snot out of Hart for the time being, up until the Hart Foundation arrives. The highlight of this brawl, really, for me, was that Jimmy Havoc was looking to get a shot in or two with the Dynasty, and then the Hart showed up, and then once, like, Davey Boy kind of got in there, Havoc's just like, nah, I didn't do anything, man, and just, like, put his arms up and just, like, try to back away slowly, which he kind of gets shoved to the side by Smith, obviously seeing that, you know, Havoc hadn't had the opportunity to do anything yet. So that was just mildly humorous to me. He's like, nah, we're all good here. Didn't do anything. So we get a brawl to end the show. Big schmoz, everyone's just kind of everywhere as everything fades to black. So, the end of MLW Fury Road, just a random chunk from the past that I just managed to pop in, and, you know, we'll see how things go up until we get new programming. Maybe I'll dig up some more things out of the vault. Or I'll just go to the Twitter machine and see what everyone else is interested in me ranting on about, because let's face it, I am Mr. No Weeks Off. We are going to do this podcast in ad infinitum for the rest of time. Try not to miss the week, a week of the best we can, or at least if I'm going to, like, actually try to pre-plan it, you know, like an actual vacation or something. I know, what is that, vacation? But, you know, it is what it is. We'll work something out. So if you're a fan of the show, you know, be sure you're following me on Twitter. There'll probably be some sort of poll to see what we may do next as a contingency plan. And we'll just work from there. Just swing it. But it was kind of neat going back in time and seeing some of our favorite MLW folk and seeing kind of how they've grown or have been blackballed from the industry. You know, whichever. But you got, like, Hammer, who's still on the top of his game and has been, like, number one ranked in the PWI MLW rankings pretty much since that point in time. And, you know, then you got others like Brian Pillman, who's kind of moved on to greener pastures, maybe, members of the Varsity Blondes in AEW. And of course, Contra's still running wild. Tom Lawler's still in MLW, but he's doing quite well in New Japan, USA. So it's kind of neat seeing where things have gone. Maybe we'll dig deeper into the vault next time. As I said, I don't know. Planning isn't always my strong suit. So, that being said, maybe I should try this planning thing and let everyone go since, you know, the show I'm reviewing is over. So, thank you all for listening. Thank you all for paying attention to my rants. I would also appreciate it if you hang out for another 2 minutes and, you know, see how you can also support the show. But in the meanwhile, I'll let you guys to that. And I will see you all next week.
Now, whether you're someone who works out, or, like me, needs to maintain focus and mental clarity, we could all use a pick-me-up. That's where Raise Energy steps in. With Refresh technology, Raise provides a hydrating, sugar-free boost of energy without the crash some other energy drinks have. You can find out where you can get Raise Energy near you by visiting www.repsports.com. And while you're there, check out the other products that Rep offers, such as pre- and post-workout supplements and snacks. And if you want some extra savings, order online and apply my discount code CASS, that's CASS, at checkout for 15% off your order.